Hello and welcome to the programme which looks at the Holy Land. I am Paul Calvert. Psalm 89 verse 1 from the New King James Bible says this: I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known your faithfulness to all generations.
I'm with Jeff Footers from First Century Foundations. Now, Jeff, what is First Century Foundations?
Hi, Paul. Great to be back with you today. First Century Foundations is an organization here in Canada and the USA that is committed to turning hearts around the world towards the land, the people, and the God of Israel. And we do that primarily through praying for Israel, praying for specific friends of ours there who we help support, Christian and Messianic ministries that are involved in helping there in the land of Israel. And so those are kind of the two key things that we do. We advocate here in North America, you know, challenge Christians, churches to get on board with helping and supporting and blessing Israel. And then we do financially support many projects with Christian and Messianic ministries across the country.
Today, we wanted to look at hatred. You're obviously pro-Israel. Have you been receiving hate during this difficult time of the war between Israel and Hamas?
Yeah, it's been a very interesting journey. I mean, we're not receiving hate from individuals that we know and are personally connected to necessarily, but many messages and, you know, comments and things like that on our social media in particular have been quite anti-Israel and even hateful, yes.
What sort of things do they say?
Well, some of them are not, some of the comments are not fit to share, you know, in a radio interview, but I can give you the idea. There's a lot of profanity. They call Israel things like, you know, an occupying state. They call Israel a butcher, somebody who's committing genocide. There's a lot of comments toward leadership in Israel, I would say, toward the IDF in particular. And, you know, not to minimize tragedy that happens in this war, but these are the kind of hateful comments that we're getting.
Is this just disagreement or is it real hatred?
Some of it is disagreement. I would say from people here in North America who would, you know, call themselves pro-Palestinian, and who have been, you know, duped into believing that, you know, they should support this on the basis of the fact that Israel is doing something wrong. I think there's a lot of people in North America that feel this way, passionate even, but they're not truly educated. They don't fully understand, you know, what's happening. So we get some of that here that is geared that way. But those who write in, and, you know, you get trolled. You get trolled by Arab individuals who are very, you know, pro-Gaza, pro-Hamas even. And many of those kind of comments are very much hateful. And some of them even feel, you know, a little threatening. And so it's been alarming for sure.
Is there a big pro-Palestinian movement in Canada?
Yeah, sadly, there seems to be. I just yesterday got a clip of a group in Mississauga, where I used to live, which is in the greater Toronto area, and a large number of pro-Palestinian Muslims had gathered, blocking an entire street in both directions, you know, kneeling on the pavement and praying towards Mecca. So there's a growing group here. And like I said, there's two groups. There's this more radical pro-Hamas sort of group. And then there's this other group, I think sometimes of well-meaning people who just are not educated and don't fully understand the issues.
It sounds like people just wanting to stand up for a cause, but not really understanding the cause in itself.
Yeah, I think you're right on there, Paul. I think that there are people who feel sort of justified in their thoughts and feelings about this issue, but really haven't gotten all of the information that they need. They're taking sound bites that they catch on, you know, TikTok and other social media platforms, and they're using those sound bites to kind of fully inform them about what's happening. However, they're not listening to everything, to every voice. And sadly, what seems to be the loudest voice right now is pro-Hamas and pro-Gaza.
Does this surprise you that people would actually be pro-Hamas when Hamas committed a genocide in Israel?
It does surprise me. And I think that What people don't realize or understand is that by being pro-Palestinian, quote unquote, in this moment, they are essentially being pro-Hamas. They're not able to distinguish between the evil that Hamas is carrying out, both against Israel and against its own citizens, I might add. They're not able to distinguish between that and those, you know, civilians who tragically do suffer, have lost life, and that kind of thing. So it's surprising to me, and yet on the other hand, it seems like it's a brilliant social media strategy, I think, that they have been able to swing so many people to be sympathetic and, you know, chant things like "From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free." Well, they might chant that not fully understanding what it means. Many of them, I know I've seen them interviewed, you have too, they're not fully grasping what this means. But what it means is essentially free of Jews, and that, you know, all of the land would be belong to the Palestinians and the Jews would be eradicated. Well, not everybody's able to work all that through in their thought process. They're just chanting a slogan, like I said, a soundbite that they're hearing, and they're not fully understanding what it's all about.
Do you think some of this is actually misunderstanding of Israel and the Holy Land, or is it actually anti-Semitic?
I think it's definitely anti-Semitic. And so that's sort of a two-pronged question in a sense, but the answer is the same. It's anti-Semitic because they are making assumptions about Jews and about Israel based on limited information and limited knowledge that they're receiving. And, you know, it's, I think sometimes people can be anti-Semitic but not aware of it. And that, I think, is part of the education that we need to do.
How good has the media been, and do they encourage this sort of thing as well?
I would say yes. You know, whether they intentionally, openly, you know, are in, you know, wanting to do that or not, I think the media is, especially, you know, less conservative media, is spinning this much toward the Palestinian side and not really taking into account the truths that are coming from the Israeli side. And I think that that unbalanced reporting, that's impacting not just North America, but it's impacting the world. And I think, you know, the social media war is something that Israel seems to be losing right now. And it's just really sad to see what's not the truth or the whole truth sort of winning out in that media space.
As a Christian, do you see this as a spiritual battle, that God has made promises to Israel and the enemy is trying to steal those promises from his children?
100%. Not to be super spiritual or overly mystical about all of this, but there's an element that sort of overarches all of this, and that is God has said in his word two things. He said, one, that the descendants of Jacob, you know, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the descendants of Jacob will be blessed and will be a blessing to the world and a light to the nations, and that they will be his chosen people and are his chosen people. There's that part of it. And then the second part of it is that God also said, you know, that this land that, you know, he promised, and he laid out very specific boundaries in the Word of God, that this land will belong to Israel, but also that it's his land. And I think that that's the big ownership piece that we miss if we're not understanding the spiritual side of it. God says, this is my land. He says, Jerusalem is my city. It's the place where I've put my name and the eternal dwelling place where I will, you know, be forever. Now, as a Christian, we understand God is everywhere present, but at the same time, God has said, here's a specific location that I have sort of put my stamp on and my name on, and, you know, basically don't mess with Jerusalem. So I think that this spiritual element is what many people don't see. And I think that Christians sometimes sort of shy away from getting too vocal about that because of the politics involved. And I think that's sad. You know, we don't want to talk about the spiritual element in a dismissive way, but it's something that needs to be considered along with everything else.
We say never again, but of course the hatred is still happening. Do you think things are going to change?
Oh, Paul, I hope so. I mean, we're praying against anti-Semitism. We are doing what we can here in this part of the world to come alongside Jews and let them know that we stand with them and try to fight this hatred. It does seem to be approaching levels that would be, you know, similar to the time of the Holocaust, sadly. And yet I pray and hope that this huge pendulum swing, you know, that rational people will begin to see the sort of error of their ways and that the pendulum will swing back. That's really all that we can pray for at this moment. You know, prophetically, this doesn't seem to be the time that the sort of final war is going to happen. I think that there are still many things from Scripture that need to be fulfilled before we get to that point. And so I'm really praying that the pendulum swings back and that we can see a decrease in this. Really what's got to happen is leadership need to step up, leadership in our provinces here in Canada, in our country, and in the U.S. and many other parts of the world need to step up and say, no more. We're not having any more of this. And they need to, I think, get firm with the controlling things that these groups are doing. And, you know, that may help in the public eye as well. But yeah, let's pray that the pendulum will swing back. I really hope that it doesn't get worse. I wish I could say that I'm, you know, super confident that that's going to happen, but we're certainly praying that that will happen.
The Bible talks about the Jews coming back to the Holy Land as biblical prophecy. So with all this anti-Semitism that's happening and all the hatred that we're seeing, do you think God can actually use this to make the Jews say, hey, we're not safe here in Canada anymore. We need to go to the Holy Land. And then they're actually physically coming back and doing Aliyah here in the Holy Land.
Mm. You know what? I think it's already happening. I really do. I've heard the sentiment from Jews here in North America. I've seen it, you know, in some of our posts online and heard it in other media channels that some Jews are saying that very thing. We feel like we would be safer in, you know, the land of Israel, which is even a war zone right now in terms of conflict on many fronts. But they're saying that they don't feel safe. They don't feel safe in the streets. They don't feel safe going out in public. They don't feel safe being visibly Jewish, you know, with the kippah and their Stars of David and all of that. I do think that it's a trend that will take off. I think that some have been making Aliyah since October 7. I think Aliyah is actually up statistically right now in these last 8 months. And I think that the wave will grow for sure. And of course, as you mentioned, that will continue this fulfillment of prophecy that's been happening since 1948.
It's quite amazing, isn't it, that an attack on Jews here in Israel has caused all of this hatred?
Yeah, it's mind-boggling, really. I mean, So these are the victims on October 7th. They stand up and defend themselves in a way that I think, you know, many people feel is disproportionate. However, on the flip side, I believe Israel has the right to root out Hamas and do what they need to do so that in the future, they don't have this, you know, radical group continuing to threaten them and want to kill their civilians. I mean, the political side is, you know, Hamas is an entity that they won't stop until they've reached their goal. And of course, we know they're not going to reach their goal. They don't have, I don't think, the wherewithal to do that. But this is shocking to me that Israel has become the sort of hated oppressor in the minds of so many people when it was Israel who was attacked aggressively and, you know, unsolicited. They didn't ask for this attack. They didn't do anything to, what's the word? They didn't do anything to sort of have people attack them. There was a ceasefire before October 7th, right? So it's just amazing that this is the way that sort of world opinions have turned. And, you know, I think that it's somewhat biblical as well. The Bible talks about the fact that Israel will be hated, and that's that spiritual element again. So,
is there a good relationship between Christians and Jews in Canada?
There is, and it's a growing relationship. I think that, you know, evangelicals in particular have stepped up and have reached out to Jews here in Canada, and the appreciation levels are great. You know, they need to know that somebody's standing with them, that somebody's on their side, you know, and I think that that's been key. There's actually a special event, a large worship event that's being planned for September with Israeli worship leaders and musicians, and focused on the Psalms, because the Psalms are what are common to both groups. And so I know this is in the works. I'm actually going to be part of a meeting in a few weeks that brings together leaders from both sides in order to plan this event. And I'm really excited about what could become of it.
Why do you stand with the Jewish people?
I learned a number of years ago that everything that I've believed as a Christian growing up, it's not that I learned it, I sort of woke up to it, is, you know, that the Jewish people are my brothers. They're my sort of older brothers in the faith in many ways. Jesus was Jewish, and everything that I believe as a Christian is based on what Jesus did, where he came to, what he taught, and what he said about the future. And all of those things have the Jewish people and Israel connected to them. You know, Jesus, even in his prophetic speaking about the future in Revelation, talks about Israel, or talks about himself, I should say, as the Lion of Judah, which can't be more, there's nothing that could be more Jewish than that, you know. So that's why I believe that I am strongly connected to the Jewish people. And of course, Romans 9 through 11 talks about, you know, how passionate Paul was about this, the Apostle Paul. And in Romans 11 in particular, we have these indications that there's going to be a great, you know, sort of last days revival because of the Jewish people turning to Yeshua as their Messiah. And so I believe that they're connected all the way along. There's just no way to extricate ourselves from that sort of Jewish story, even as evangelical Christians and believers in Jesus.
What's your prayer for Israel as they see all this hate that's happening all around the world?
You know, I pray that they will be able to sort of turn away from it and continue to stay focused on what they need to do in this moment, especially with this conflict. I pray that, you know, there will be some resolution of the conflict on the northern border. I see that today the U.S. has indicated that they will back Israel if there's a, you know, if there's an incursion into Lebanon, and if Lebanon continues to sort of build this conflict. And so I think that that will be a key step, and I'm praying that that will settle things down on the northern border. But ultimately, Paul, we're praying that every Jewish person will see the truth that Yeshua, Jesus, is the Messiah, that he was the Messiah when he came, and that he is the Messiah today, and that they can be Jewish and understand that Yeshua is their Messiah. I think that's really my prayer, because, you know, peace will come to the Middle East when the Prince of Peace is recognized for who he is. And that is, of course, Jesus, Yeshua, our Messiah.
What's your website for people who'd like to know more about the work that you do?
Website is First Century Foundations, all one word, lowercase, with an S on the end, plural, firstcenturyfoundations.com. And love to have people check it out. And we look forward to connecting with anyone who would like to know more.
Well, Jeff, thank you very much for sharing today.
My pleasure, Paul. Always great to be with you, and I hope this gets a good response.
Thank you for joining us today. Pray that God will move by his mighty power in the Holy Land and bring his peace.